We're making our way through the gifts of the Spirit. Gateway, not just a goal of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but a gateway into the Spirit-impacted life. Not just a one-time experience, but a flow, an everyday occurrence. Pastor Jerry is talking about the word of wisdom, and has talked about the word of knowledge and faith, and we're going to be talking about healing and miracles and prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Those are the manifestation gifts. They are the could happen at any moment gifts, could happen on your job gifts, could happen at Walmart gifts, could happen in the Sunday school gifts. There are gifts that are come upon us as we are open to flow and in faith in the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit in Romans 12 are the permanent gifts, the everyday practical gifts. We talked about, if we have the list overhead, that would be great. If not, that's fine. We've talked about the gift of prophecy or preaching. We've talked about the gift of serving. And I'm talking about the permanent resident gift of serving, as well as the flowing into that realm of serving as well. Teaching, exhortation or encouragement, giving, leading. Next time I'll be talking about leading, and then mercy. And these are different people who are set into the body of Christ. You may have the gift of encouragement. I may have the gift of giving. And someone else may have the gift of preaching or prophecy. And you may have a little double dip of both. I've seen some flow in more than one of these. God is called maybe a prophet giver, for example, or maybe an encouragement mercy. Sometimes they overlap with each other. But God dispenses these gifts, and everybody's different. In fact, when God made you, He said, I'll never do that again. Amen. We all have, and notice here that these are the differences, manifestation versus ministry. One in the moment, one in the life. One, the Holy Spirit working in you. One, the Holy Spirit working through you. One special, one practical. One can be like emergencies, 911. The other can be like rehab. One is an event. One is a process. Not contradictory, but complementary. And so I want to continue this, my part of this gifts. I've been using a subset of making a difference. Say that with me. Making a difference. You see, that's really what all the gifts are all about. Making a difference in me. Making a difference through me. And so I want you to stand and let's read Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. Amen. Don't you miss Sunday night, whatever you do. Don't watch it by live stream. Don't watch it later on YouTube. Cancel your appointments. Tell your family to go back home if they're visiting. Get out here or bring them with you, better yet. You don't want to miss Sunday night. That's not a night to watch the Cowboys play. That's not a night to just sit around and rest because you work hard all week. We've got padded pews, and you'll regret that you didn't stay if you miss Sunday night. So you be back Sunday night. Will you do it for us? Come on. And bring some people and tell some people we're going to have somebody from the Israeli Parliament to Westmoreland Church. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Somebody say office. See, this is what we're talking about in this gifts. These are official giftings, specific and permanent. So we being many are not one in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having. Somebody say having. The manifestation gifts you don't have per se. The manifestation gifts have you. It's different. These gifts, you have this gift. This is your gift, your calling, having the gifts different according to the grace that is what? Given. Whether prophecy or preaching, let us preach or prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, which is serving. God called servants, let us wait on our serving, let us do it, on he that teacheth, on teaching, on he that encourages or exhorteth, on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. I'm going to say right now, that word simplicity doesn't mean doing it little tiny simply. That word really translates liberally, to do it liberally, simply, everything liberally. That's how it can be translated. So if you're giving, give how? liberally. On he that ruleth or leadeth, do it with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Father, thank you tonight for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the manifestation gifts. Thank you that we're going beyond the gateway, Lord, and that this church is going to be the model church in this conference of people flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, because we're making a difference. And we'll give you all the praise. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody you can make a difference, and you may be seated. You know, one of the things that we have to kind of think about, and as I was preparing this message, spirituality and practicality. You'll see that in the manifestation gifts, is you would think would be more of the spiritual part, because it's such a surprise and you have to be in touch with the Lord and you have to be spiritual. You know, we need to be spiritual. Amen. We need to think spiritually. Look, my Christmas cards, I'm spiritual in the sense that my Christmas cards, I don't have Santa and jingle bells. I have Jesus and the manger. I mean, now if you have Santa and jingle bells, that's all right. That's up to you. I'm not saying you're not spiritual, but I'm just telling you, I want my socks to be spiritual. I want everything to be spiritual. Amen. But there is the practical part. It's like Mary and Martha. You know, Martha was going about serving, and Mary was at the feet of Jesus. So the spiritual and the practical. But I'm telling you, spiritual and practical are not diametrically opposed. You really can't have one without the other. You've got heads and tails. You've got the same thing. And when you see the gift of giving, you can see really the practical side of the spiritual gifts, because we're dealing with finances. We're dealing with cash. We're dealing with money. And people say, well, that's not very spiritual. You better believe it's spiritual. Amen. All of these gifts are spiritual. Some are more practical and some are more hands-on. Some are more, you got to put a little elbow grease into them to, you see, God may call, and I've mentioned this, for example, God's called me to preach. That's my gifting. He's called me to preach, and my office is the pastor. That's the office, the fivefold ministry, is pastor. I know that. God's called me to that. But I got to work on that. I can't just fly by and just sail through and watch TV all day and just get up here and just, no, you're not going to get fed, and you'll dry up and you'll probably go somewhere else, as you should. I know I would. But we've got to work on this. It's not that it's not spiritual to work on things. In fact, it's very spiritual to work on things. The Bible says the Lord will perfect that which concerneth us. Amen. And see that you come behind in no gift. In other words, there's a holy effort. You got to anoint your face when you are fasting. The Bible says, do not appear unto men as to fast. So anoint yourself. Somebody say anoint yourself. Amen. Sometimes you got to anoint yourself when you're facing those demons out there. Amen. You can't wait for Bishop T.D. Jakes' podcast. You can't wait for the latest YouTube video. You can't watch Paul and Jan. They're dead and gone anyway. Sometimes you just got to anoint yourself. Get in the flow of the Holy Ghost. He wants to work. I want to go beyond the gateway. Can you give him a hand of praise here tonight? I want to be Pentecostal, up and down, in and out. Amen. That was none of that in my notes, by the way. See, I got some practical things. I got some notes up here. I sat down at a computer and I typed out some thoughts. But I'll tell you one thing about notes. I'm prepared. I got the content. But oh, Holy Ghost, breathe on those notes and breathe on this mind. And we throw that away. We can do whatever the Lord wants us to do. People say, well, I don't believe in preparation, because if I prepare, the Spirit can't have His way. No, I have found the opposite. The more I prepare, the more the Holy Spirit has His way. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel, the Bible says, lay the wood in order, and then the fire fell. How many of you want the fire to fall? Woo, didn't the fire fall Sunday morning? Amen. You know what? Really, the fire falls every service here at Westmoreland. I've been a pastor of five churches, and now I'm on staff at our church. I don't ever refer to this as that church, or I refer to it as my church. Amen. Because it's my church. But I'm on staff here at my church, and I'm telling you, you never can, never leave Westmoreland and you haven't been in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I tell folks sometimes, we get to talking and the different ones will come in, and I'll say one thing about Pastor Jerry and one thing about Westmoreland. You're not going to fall asleep. Why don't we praise God for the manifestation? It don't just happen. Somebody's hungry for it. Somebody's thirsting for it. I'll tell you, God moves when we move to God. Say amen tonight. So we're talking about tonight the calling to give, the gift of giving. So I've been doing this in three parts, three parts. Now, please understand, these are God. This list is God called gifts, God called ministry. And I want to talk about the God called gift to giving. So I've been breaking this down in three parts. The calling generally, then the calling specifically, and then those who are called, if they happen to listen to this message, to calling structurally, how to improve and how to flow in that gift. So point number one, the calling to give generally speaking. Don't come up and say, well, I'm not called to give. It's not one of my giftings. I didn't see a burning bush, and I didn't hear a voice from heaven, and I didn't get a prophetic utterance, so I don't really have to give. No, I'm sorry. Doesn't work like that. Because we're all called to give. Amen. We're all called to give. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 2. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 2. It says, therefore, when. Somebody say, when. When you doest thine alms. Now, that's King James Version, basically translated. Therefore, when you give. Somebody say, when you give. Jesus said, when you give. This is not a burning bush. This is not a voice from heaven. This is to normal Christians and everyday living. It's assumed that you will give. And we're not talking about, now I do want to say this tonight. I know there's giving of time. I know there's giving of talents. I know that people, we don't always put a dollar on things, time, effort, energy, but for the sake of this message tonight, I am referring to dollars. I am referring to money. And yes, I am talking about that as Christians, we are called to give finances. Luke chapter 6, put your seatbelt on, because we could. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He didn't say, if you, or if maybe, or if you strike a notion. He said, give. But I'm going to refer to the other part, and it shall be given to you. But he did say, give. To give is to obey the Lord. One of the things about we as Christians, or we are called, the gift of salvation is to say that He is my Lord, and we are under orders. We're to smartly salute and say, yes, Lord. Somebody say, yes, Lord. Amen. The Bible tells us, number one, this is not an outline, Sister Hope, but the Bible does say, first of all, to give. So we all are called to give. And you may not have as much as others, but you have something. God will give you something to give. And then not only are we called to give, the Bible tells us how much and where to give. Now go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, bring you all the tithes. Okay, stop right there. Tithe. God tells us exactly what we're to give. Now the word tithe doesn't mean 10%. That's not a correct translation. Tithe does not mean 10%. Tithe means the first 10%. That's a big difference. 10%, it could be at the end of the month, and I'll just give 10% if it's left over. No, the first 10%. Amen, somebody. That's what the Bible tells, exactly how much you are to give of your increase. Bring all the tithes, and not only how much to give, it tells you where to give. It says where? Into the where. Somebody say it again. Take the word store off and say the last part. You are to give tithe in the house. Uh-oh. Oh, brother, I give my tithes to Benny Hinn. That's not the house. I'm sorry. I give my tithes to the alcoholic down here on Main Street, because churches spend too much money on staff and unnecessary things, and I want my money to go to where people are hurting. You're in rebellion and disobedience to God, and you're trying to sound spiritual, and you're really carnal. Woo, glory. The Bible doesn't say give your tithe to the homeless. The Bible doesn't say give your tithe to the missionary. Now, some of you may disagree with that, and if I offend you, you apologize to me after the service, okay? Did you hear how I said that? If I offended you, you just apologize to me, all right? Okay, if I offended you, all right? I'm just sorry. People come up with, because think of it, friend. The local church is the one and only avenue of world evangelization that God has ordained. It's called the house. Yes, God may use parachurch ministries, James Dobson films and other events, Teens Challenge, but look of it like this. We send a kid to Teens Challenge and he gets off of drugs, then where does he go? If he doesn't have a local church to learn and grow and to be a part of, everything is about the house. Now, I didn't say you shouldn't give above your tithes to these other ministries. Absolutely. Once you have paid tithes, I don't like to use the word pay, but let's just say pay tithes. Once you've paid up, once you've prayed up, once you've prayed the price and paid up, once you've given tithes to the house, what's beyond that, you can give to Jimmy Swaggart or Benny Hinn, or you can give to a gospel group, or you can give the missionaries. God's blessing comes God's way. Don't be super spiritual and hand the evangelist your tithes. Because think of it like this. It's like the light bill. Somebody say light bill. Somebody say the rent. Amen. Or mortgage. Somebody say mortgage. I'm just here to tell you that you've got to have a house to lay your head in. And you've got to pay that light bill. And I promise you that if you got $300 light bill and there's a homeless man down on the street and you give $300 to that homeless man, I'm going to tell you something. The light folks are going to want to know where their $300 is. Well, don't you understand, Mayor Rose? I gave it to the homeless man. Oh, good. Lights are off until you get paid. Can I get a witness out here? You got to pay your debts first. You got it. I know it's not a debt you owe, but it is a debt you owe. We're debted to God for 100%. Glory to God. I owe him my tithes. I pay him my tithes. I worship with my tithes. I'm not giving my tithe to some hungry person down the road. I'll give my offering to them, but I got to pay the light bill. I got to pay the preacher. I got to pay the deacons. I got to pay for Sunday school literature. I got to pay for the lights at the church, because if the church shuts down, brother, we're all in the world of mess. Bring the tithe into the house. God said it, I didn't. And if you're offended, you apologize to me after the service. You said you want me to be strong, Pastor. He said it the other night, didn't he? Y'all are still quiet. I can feel it coming back. I can feel it coming back. Amen. Amen. And you say, and I've met some good people that say, well, I'll give 5% to the church and 5% here. Don't divide the tithe. Do what the Bible says. If you're a member of Westmoreland Church and you make $1,000 this week, then you figure out the tithe. You bring it to God. You bring it to Westmoreland Church. And by the way, you're not giving it to the preacher. You're not giving it to the deacons. You're giving it to God. People say, well, I didn't like that sermon, so I'm going to withhold my tithes. You're not withholding your tithes from the preacher. You're withholding your tithes from God. Let me tell you something. As long as you're in control of your tithes, then God is not in control of your life. Come on. He is to have control of everything. Every dollar down to the last penny. I want you to know that if I'm a member at Westmoreland, now if there's false doctrine here, I'm going to meet with the people and say, "Let's, what's going on? There's false doctrine here." But I will not stop holding my giving because there's something I don't agree with. Maybe they put in green carpet, so I'm just going to hold my tithes because I don't like the music the youth band plays. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of people on Judgment Day that's going to realize that all that they did give didn't have the right spirit behind it. I'm going to give to the church, and as long as the church is preaching the Word of God, I may not agree with everything about the church. Somebody might not have shook my hand. I'm giving to God. Somebody say, I'm giving to the Lord. Amen. I'm giving to the Lord. Somebody give him praise here tonight. I said we're all called to give. Churches have expenses, and there is an expense to the gospel. There's a light bill. There's property. There's upkeep. There's air conditioners. Well, that money doesn't go to homeless people. But listen, if we shut down the church, there's going to be a lot of spiritual homeless people. Amen. There is an operation expense to doing ministry. And the best way to fulfill that is you give your tithe. You give your tithe. You give your tithe. And we put our tithe together. And we can build a great church. And we can have ministry. And we can meet the needs. And God is blessed. And we're winning souls. And then some of the souls that get saved here will then go out and be missionaries. And then we'll go out and feed the hungry. And it won't be that I did it. It'll be we did it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, if you're there, say amen. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done. Jesus, when you read that passage, Jesus said you ought to tithe. So the Bible teaches not only to give, the Bible teaches how much to give. The Bible teaches where to give. And the Bible tells you when to give. Well, when should I pay? Go to 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. It says, 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, it tells you when to give. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. Now, I struggle with that scripture. I really do because I get paid monthly. Darnell gets paid monthly. So I was just dividing out the weeks so that every Sunday I'd give a check. And then I put it aside to savings and say, this week I'm going to draw out for the tithe. And then I get busy and, books, you know, writing checks, paying this one, that. I'm always paying on time. I'm on time payer, everybody. And, I thought, you know what? I'm going to write that one check when that check comes in and I'm going to pay it. That's the month. So God understands if you get paid biweekly. He understands you get paid weekly. He understands you get paid quarterly on sales. But every Sunday at church, when it's you get it in, you get it to God when that time comes. Amen? Don't hold back. Don't hold off. Pay promptly. Pray on time. Because hasn't God paid you? Hasn't God helped you? Hasn't God blessed you? Somebody say amen here tonight. Now, I know I'm going where angels fear to tread. I'm telling you, you want to get a preacher in hot water, let him start talking about money. Somebody said the most sensitive nerve in the body is the one that runs from the heart to the pocketbook. What? Giving again? I'll stop asking to give when God stops giving to us. One man said concerning the church, give, give, give. That's all I ever hear. Give, give, give. The pastor said, thank you. That's the best definition of Christianity I've ever heard. The best definition of Christianity. For God so loved the world that he... I want you to know that 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus gave in the Gospels deals with finances. One out of six verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke alone deals with a person and his money. The Bible has over 500 verses on prayer, 2,300 verses on personal finances. Let me repeat that. 500 verses are on prayer. 2,000 are on your finances. Jesus mentioned money, more than prayer, heaven, or hell combined. This thing of financial giving is very important. For as where your treasure is, so is your heart. There's no greater barometer of your life. Speaking tongues is good. Running the aisles is a blessing. But I promise you, where that pocketbook goes speaks volumes of your spirituality. It speaks volumes of your humility. Look at what Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verses 32 through 35. Acts chapter 20, verse 32 through 35. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Verse 33. Can you give me a thumbs up? I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Verse 34. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you are to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is what? More blessed to give than to receive. Now, human nature says it's more blessed to give than to receive. I mean, to receive than to give. Human nature is more blessed to receive. I always wanted children. I always do. I still do. I still believe God's going to give me children. I know my wife is getting older. I'm getting older. I don't care. God did it for Sarah. He can do it. Now, I'm not saying physically. Now, I mean, it'll be adoption. I promise you. I'm not saying my wife's going to be pregnant at 60. I don't think that's going to happen. She just turned 50, by the way. But if we have any children, it's going to be adoption at this point. But adoption or physical, children's is coming, I believe, to us. But one of the things I look forward to was Christmas. Because Christmas, I see, Now, my mom and dad did this to me. My mom and dad did it to me, and I was planning to do it to my children. But my mom, whatever I put on the Christmas list, say I put it, I wanted the Superman doll, or if I wanted a Millennium Falcon from the Star Wars, or if I wanted a drum set, or if I wanted this, all of those things, everything I put on my list, I got it. Woo, I was blessed and highly favored. Woo, Christmas morning. Oh, I got it. I got it. I'm tore into it. Loved it. But I always said, when I have children, I'm going to say, tell me everything you want for Christmas. Well, you know, not 100 things, but give me, like, for example, 5 things you want for Christmas. I'm going to tell my kids this. This is when I adopt my kids and we have Christmas. I'm going to say, give me 5 things you want for Christmas. And here's what I'm going to tell them. I'm going to say, you're going to get 4 of them. But I want to know 5. Because the 5th one, the money that would go for that, we're going to give to a kid who doesn't have anything for Christmas. And I want them to do it, not do it for them. Because I want them to teach. I want to teach them this lesson. Number one, you'll never get everything you want. See, my mom and dad taught me I could get everything I want. And man, I've been so disappointed in my life. I don't get everything I want. Boy, they really messed me up. I wish my mom and dad would have taught me, no, son, you don't get everything you want, and that others have a greater need than what you want. Amen? So we have to teach children. We have to. Giving is something, it speaks volumes of our heart. How can I load my child with the most expensive and all that they desire while children in the world are going hungry if he is not aware of that? Or if she's now, do I want to give my kids good things? Absolutely. Do I want to give them the best things? They're going to get it, I promise you. But I must instill to them that there are others in this world who are not as fortunate, and they must learn that they cannot get every single thing they desire at that moment. Now, down the road, I promise you I'm going to make up for that gift number 5. I promise you, as daddy, I'm going to see that they get more than they ask for. Oh, I'm going to be a good daddy. Don't y'all believe that? Hallelujah. I can tell you how to raise kids. I've never raised them. Amen. I see we have a guest here tonight. I know they're like, not Pastor Ricky. No. All right. But Paul said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Because when you die, you leave behind all that you have, but you take with you all that you are. Why is it more blessed to give than to receive? Because of, number one, the bond that it breaks. The bond that it breaks. Look at Acts 20, verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold. We live in a coveting society, and yet we have everything. Everybody wants the latest this. Whatever my neighbor has, I gotta have. Is covetousness. Won't. Some people are like baseball players. Instead of having a mitt in one hand to catch a ball, they got a mitt in 2 hands. They're all the time receiving, but they're never giving or throwing or giving. We can't be having a mitt in both hands all the time, getting. Some people are like the Dead Sea in Israel. In fact, this man from Israel could probably tell you about the Dead Sea. Why is it called the Dead Sea? Because it has inflow, but it has no outflow. And so there's no life in that sea. It's salty and dead, and there's death there. And as long as we're taking, and we're not giving out and flowing, we become spiritually dead. We're receiving, but we're not giving, and we're not giving. It keeps us from covetousness. It keeps us from idleness. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 34. Acts 20, verse 34. It says, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and them that were with me. I'll tell you, when it comes to giving, it keeps us working. You know, I can't give if I'm unemployed. Unemployment can happen in one of 2 ways. It can be because of circumstances. Job closed, moved to another country. Thank God we have a president that's keeping jobs in this country. And I don't care whether it's Democrat or Republican. We need our people working, not everybody else, to get 50 cents an hour. And basically slavery is what we're supporting. But, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, Ephesians 4 and 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Did you know your work is spiritual? When I clock in at Best Buy, it's a spiritual thing. It is. I call it blessed by. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, is it fun all the time? Absolutely not. Do people aggravate me? They sure do. Do I aggravate people? I know I do. And is it work just as like everybody else working 9 to 5? What a way to make a living, barely getting by on whatever living. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you that I'm going to do a sermon series one day on 9 to 5. Glory to God. Nate's looking at me like, what's that? It's Dolly Parton. She sung that song years ago. I'm just here to tell you that your 9 to 5 is a blessing of God. He gives you resources. He will promote you on your job if you'll be an excellent worker and have prayer. I pray over my job. I ask, I want you to know our store was number 1 out of 900 in surveys, customer satisfaction. Yes, 1892, Best Buy. And Lazaro, one of our members here, is a big part of that. So when you see Lazaro, he's working for the Lord through as a member of Westmoreland. You ought to praise God for the job that you have. Amen? Now, the other form of unemployment is this, sitting at home watching movies and potato chips and drawing somebody else's money called a check when you're able to work. And you don't want to, you have a job and somebody gets on your nerves or something, or the manager sets you down and says, look, you need to do better. And you're highly offended at any thought that you must improve. And so you quit and you can't find another job. That's not God's fault. I'll tell you what, God said he'll provide. Yes, right. And I'm going to just say that, Lord, I done stirred it up. Let's go on into it a little further here. But, This one time I love being an associate pastor. I love this. I love, because when I get in trouble like this, you can just talk to him about it. All right. I love that. For 20 years, the deacons talked to me about it. I'm just kidding. But I tell you, I gotta be careful because it's going live stream, but I'll just say at my job, we have had different managers to come in, and we have had a manager to come in that kind of got on people's wrong side. And this one, where are they at? Well, manager so-and-so kind of got on them and they just walked out the door. Another one, where are they at? Same manager, and they walked out the door. And then I'm not talking about these little fly-by-nights. I'm talking about solid workers walking out the door. I said, hold it just a minute here. And then that same manager kind of gets on me a little bit. Ricky Dabbs. Yeah, me. And I'm like, well, at least there, I look at it positive. If she gets on me and she gets on this one, she just gets on people. That's who she is. That's how she's geared. We need people like that to toe the line. And we need strict people. We need people to go by the books. It's a good thing to have a drill sergeant every now and then to shape you up and not pamper you. Oh, man, where did all this come from? Glory to God. A job will bring character to you, and you need to be on time, and you need to cross your T and dot your I, because there's finances and bottom line, and you need to be loyal to your company. I am there at Best Buy to help them make a profit. Glory to God. Well, that's a bad thing. No, it's not. That profit helps me pay tithes. Glory to God. That profit helps me, glory, to have a home and savings and retirement, 401k and health care. Thank God for a job. Amen. Well, now, I'm gonna be honest with you. A couple of times she got on me and I wanted to walk out. I ain't gotta do this. I'm a pastor. I'll call a bishop and I'll tell Pastor Jerry that he can put me, you know, I'll just work here and blah, blah, blah. I don't have to put up with this stuff. I didn't say it. That's not very anointed. But I'll tell you what. Yes, ma'am. All right. Praise God. Found a kitten home. Immediately. Can we praise the Lord for that? Amen. One or two of these young people that I work with, I said, and they were like, well, if she does something, I'm going to quit. I said, let me tell you something. Ricky Nelms is going to quit when Ricky Nelms decides it's God's time to quit. I'm not quitting because the manager so-and-so. I'm not quitting because I have a bad day. When God's got me there for a reason and for a season, and I'm not going to come to work and she get all over me or he get all over me and I just throw down and say I'm quitting. That's not honoring God. I said, let me tell you something. What are you going to tell the next employer? And may I remind you that when you leave this place, because a manager so-and-so, you might get somebody worse at the next place. You are God's child. You are under His care. If He's put a mean boss over you, thank God for that, because it is for a blessing. If nothing else, you say you forgive people. Well, mean boss will help you learn to forgive people. Amen. Somebody give Him praise here tonight. I'm telling you, God cares about your job. He don't want you sitting at home unemployed. And ladies, for the life of me, how do these ladies marry men who don't have a job or have a, and this is what they say. I'll say, you're dating somebody. Yes. Do they have a job? Yes. How long they been at a job? Oh, about 6 weeks. Honey, where was the last job? Well, then we find out they can't keep a job, and now you give them a smooching and honey. But let me tell you, no money, no honey. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. That is not. Telling you what. We need to, there's something that glorifies God about hard work and labor and excellence and growth. And Best Buy is a blessing to me. And I'm not going to let manager so-and-so keep me from that blessing. Amen. I'm not going to sit at home and eat potato chips while the world is out there in need of something. And by the way, nothing wrong with sitting at home every now and then eating potato chips. Just want you to know that. I'll tell you, giving, it is more blessed to give than receive. It keeps you from covetousness. It keeps you from idleness. One of the things that keeps you from covetousness is because you know how much, like, I covet somebody's radio system on their car. I really want that. But when you realize you got to work 42 hours and hard labor and that money has got to go to pay for that thing, you realize you're okay with the standard radio you have in your car now. Can I get a witness? Hard work keeps you from covetousness, keeps you from idleness, keeps you from selfishness. You know how they catch monkeys in Africa? They cut a hole in a coconut, just enough for the monkey to get his hand into the coconut. And they put like bananas or beans or rice or something, and they know that when he grabs a hold of that stuff, that he won't let it go. And so therefore, he can't pull his hand back out. Are y'all with me? And while he's over there holding on to that rice and that, those bananas or whatever in there, they walk up and they catch that monkey. And I want to ask you tonight, what are you holding on to? Somebody hold your hand up like this. It ain't even comfortable. Now hold your hand like that. If that monkey just lets it go, somebody say, let it go. I tell you, that's right. Let your finances go to God. Release the tithe consistently, weekly, spiritually. Release those wants and wishes. We don't have to live like the Joneses, and nothing against any Joneses here. We have different priorities. Amen. That was point number one. I'll do point two and three next time. But I close with this tonight. I close with this. I heard about this pastor in the church, and Brother Wilson, would you mind coming tonight? And he was really getting into the sermon, and his congregation was helping him. And the pastor was excited about their future. Aren't you excited about Westmoreland's future here? The preacher said, this church is like a crippled man who needs to get up and walk under the power of Jesus. And the congregation said, let it walk, preacher. Let it walk. Oh, the preacher got excited and said, this church is like Elijah on Mount Carmel. We've got to run. The congregation replied, let it run, preacher, let it run. The preacher really got excited and said, this church has got to mount up on wings like eagles and fly. If we're going to do great things, we're going to fly like the eagle. And the congregation, just in a frenzy, said, let it fly, let it fly, let it fly. And then the preacher said, now, if we're really going to fly, if we're really going to do great things, it's going to take money. The congregation replied, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. Would you stand with me tonight? How many of you want this church to fly? Amen? Amen. How many of you believe the kingdom? Give, seek Him first, the kingdom, and all of these things will be added unto you. Let go and let God. Don't be stingy. Don't be a miser. Be a liberal, cheerful, hilarious giver to God. Pay the tithe. Give the tithe. Pay the tithe first. Where God says, and above that, you watch, He'll give seed to the sower. He'll give meat to the eater. Oh, thank God He is the God in the famine. And we as Christians will lend and not borrow. Oh, thank God that we are blessed and highly favored of God. Somebody shout glory. And Father, tonight, help us with your hands uplifted. Help us to respond to the call, the general call to give. Help us, Father, Lord, to obey you and love you and serve you, Lord. God, help us tonight. Let the church fly, Lord. Let the church walk. Lord, we may not have a lot to give, but we can give a lot. Hallelujah. Because you provide. And Lord, whether we make $10,000 a year or whether we make $300,000 a year or whether we make Social Security, fixed income, it doesn't matter, God. You will meet every need. You will meet every need. Now, I want to ask, does anybody need a job? And I'm serious tonight. Do you need? Come on down to the altar, sister. I know you've been helping. Come on. You need a job? Come on. I want you to come. We're going to pray for employment. No unemployment in this house. Come on up, Shemaine. Amen. It's right there is good. Yeah, I'm sorry. You were already up, weren't you? You can go back on the floor if you want to. Who needs a job? Who needs a job? Now, I believe God will give you some good jobs. What job do you want? IT. Anybody else need a job? Come on. You bunch of retired people out here, I'm telling you. We have got retired people. Hey, can I tell you something? If you retired, you need to be doing more for the Lord. More! People say, I'm retired. You don't ever see them at church. Where are they at? They're up here, they're down yonder. And that's fine. You need to travel up here and you need to travel down there. But you need to be in church, glory to God, more than ever. You never retire from the kingdom. Man, I'm just stirring it all up tonight, I'm telling you. Father, give my brother a job. He needs a job. He needs to earn money. He needs to... Will you give the tithe to God if He gives you a job? Will you give full tithe to God, to this church? You're a member of this church. Will you do it? Now raise your hands. Raise those hands. Father, give Him work to do. Give Him work. In the name of Jesus, I say these hands will be put to work. Somebody give Him praise here tonight. Get ready. You've heard no, and you've heard no, and you've heard no. And the Holy Ghost just told me to tell you, you're going to hear a yes soon. If you'll trust Him and obey Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give my...